You are listening to Punk News Podcast, episode 584, a special episode with Brooke of Froggy. Let's go! To a roaring start, and more. The listeners won't know this, but we just had literally 25 minutes of crashing, all of which was Hallie Bullitt's fault. Should Hallie Bullitt feel bad, or is this a mulligan and a free pass? What's your stance?
It's a free pass. It was Y2K.
Hallie Bullitt and more citing Y2K on a 22-year delay. Do you accept this as the reason that we had our severe technical problem?
I had my own personal Y2K just now. Yeah, totally.
I think Hallie just came up with a indie rock album of the year, my own personal Y2K, something like that. So, and we are here with Brooke of Froggy. As the listeners know, Froggy is one of my favorite new bands. I saw them open for Catfight at Catfight's record release show, and I was wow. I said, this band is fantastic. They play punk. It's funny. It's raw. It's ragged. It's clever. It's well done. And they just released a new single called Jimmy Song. Brooke, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here.
Brooke, what is it like being the darling of Philadelphia? Everyone loves you guys. WMMR, WXPN, Punk News, Catbite. What is it like being the queen of the city?
It's quite delightful. I hope we get to do the same thing with the rest of the world someday. But I'm glad so many people here have our backs. It's like a community that, like, it's the community of I've experienced before in my local music scene. It's kind of just built into like a bigger area of support, which is so awesome.
Brooke, how long have you been in bands for?
I was in a little one-off band with some of my friends since like 2018, 2019. And that just kind of never went anywhere. But we might play a show just for the hell of it coming up. And Froggy started in 2020. So, yeah, I believe. Yeah, Froggy started in 2020. So, we've been going for quite a while. Almost 2 years.
Is Froggy a calculated strike where the three people in Froggy are, there's Brooke on bass and vocals, there's Morgan on guitar and vocals, and there's Fiona on drums. Did the three of you sit down and say, we're going to make a cool band, or do you guys just start jamming and things just caught on fire from there?
So basically, Morgan posted literally on her Instagram story and was like, who wants to start a punk band with me? And it was like a poll. And apparently me and Fiona were the only people who clicked yes for some reason. And I know Morgan from school through like mutual friends, and Fiona knew Morgan through School of Rock. And then Morgan just made a group chat and we all just started talking, and we were kind of just never really thought it would go anywhere. Just like, oh, let's do a thing. And then like, it was in the beginning of the pandemic, late February, April or March. I don't know, somewhere in that time frame. I'll have to look it up. But we wrote Livy Folds basically over FaceTime and started writing Machete like over FaceTime. And I just remember like the first time we jammed together, we played like the breakdown for Livy Folds. And that's kind of when we were like, okay, this could be something. Like that sounded better than we expected.
Froggy has some quite explosive and even violent lyrics. If we look at the lyrics, there's a song called Key Your Car. I think, doesn't Livy Folds have like very violent lyrics? Is Froggy a violent band? Should we be scared of you all? Should we be in fear for our state? Here we go. Livy Folds has lyrics such as, opened her mouth, my mind went south. Now that you hold this gun, and so forth. So we have some very violent lyrics in Froggy. Should I be concerned? Should I warn the parents that Froggy might be too intense for them?
Honestly, I think we're just a femme band with like strong emotions. We've never hurt anybody personally and probably wouldn't, but I feel like I could. Don't wanna start anything. So I feel like we're assertive with our words and our emotions and our opinions. And in a way, I guess that could be seen as violent, like violent minds, but we tend to keep it civil.
I particularly like how Brooke answered that and in the very 80s punk fashion. And she didn't say, no, we're not violent. She said, we're probably not violent, but who knows? Who knows? Brooke, you've got a fantastic new song called Jimmy's Song. It's kind of a straightforward punk basher with a classic level songcraft. It's about a very personal topic. What's it like telling the people of the time that you wanted to go out with somebody and they didn't want to go out with you? What's it like opening up people to such a sensitive world or sensitive part of oneself? Or maybe you don't care.
Well, I mean, it felt very good to get it out. I get at least 5 people a day asking me who Jimmy is, and I'm not giving up his identity because that's embarrassing and it's somebody I'm friends with now. But I have like lost some friends over this. I think I lost like 1, but and that's a lot for me. But I didn't really care because you know what? Like this song is such a big piece of me, such a big part of my life, and I'm so proud of it that if somebody's going to be weird to me about it, I don't really care because it's like my art and my expression, and I don't really like owe it to my quote-unquote friends to like tell them everything about it, you know? But it feels very good to like be vulnerable with my music like that.
Hallie, you've written songs where you've been like vulnerable, like in some of your bands. Does that throw shackles off you, or does that put shackles on you? And what are the long term effects of that?
It definitely takes a weight off my shoulders, but sometimes it'll kind of give me a little bit of anxiety, like, oh, like, what is this person going to say something to me? Like, what if this person doesn't like it? But in the end of the day, I feel like I kind of push that all away because in the end of the day, having the song out and having people like tell me that they connect to the lyrics or like they went through something similar, like that's what makes it all worth it. And I just decide like, I'm not going to care about these people that make me anxious about like expressing myself.
Hallie, you've written songs where you've opened up a vulnerable side of yourself. What was the long term effects of that? Was that freeing or was that scary? You know, or damaging?
No, it always felt good. I mean, I think a lot of songwriters feel like if you go through something totally crummy, if you just like get a great song out of it, it's sort of like the best way to just sort of turn things back around. You're like, okay, my heart got dragged through the mud this like shit storm happened in my life, but I got something beautiful out of it. I don't know. I feel like it's a way to kind of reclaim that moment to turn it on its head and say like, no, I'm going to make art out of this. Did you ever have this happen, Brooke? I had it where I would like, so this, okay. So in this scenario, your friend who is Jimmy, you said you're still friends. So like, would he come to see you play shows and like, you'd have to play this show, this song in front of him? Is that like a thing that could and could or has happened?
Well, he's heard the song and he loves it. And yeah, he's seen us multiple times. So I'm just, honestly, whenever somebody asks somebody in the band, like who a song is about, we just lie and say that somebody else wrote it. So if this person ever gets suspicious, like, that's like, people have like come at Morgan before, like, who's this song about? And she'll be like, I don't know, Brooke wrote it. And I didn't write it, but it works.
Yes, just deflect. Just deflects in just the right way. Yeah, I think the only time I felt like just like truly like vulnerable in an awful way is when I'd written songs about people and then maybe we'd broken up and then they, I don't know, this is a very specific scenario, but sometimes performing those songs for the people you wrote them about can feel a little intense. But yes, in terms of just singing them to other people, to strangers, no, that never felt like uncomfortably vulnerable. That always felt very freeing. I think I don't think that's the exact word that you use, John, but yeah, I do think there can be something really like freeing about it.
Hallie, what's your opinion of the Stevie Nicks song where she wrote a song about, I think, breaking up with Lindsey Buckingham and then made him play guitar on that song? What's your stance? What's your stance on that?
It's fucking great. It's so great. That's like that's the best. I mean, I have to read, like, I don't feel like I know all the stories about them, but I feel like I have to start going through, like, I have to start reading more books about Fleetwood Mac, because that was a real mess they were all in.
They were messy.
Just messy.
One of the things that I like very much about Froggy, and actually it's kind of related to like M Moore type bands, and after this episode, I'm going to use the phrase M Moore band again later on this episode. I'm going to keep using that phrase, but I'm going to pull back on it because I feel I don't want to push M Moore into a corner. However, one of the things that I like very much about M Moore bands is that there's very little posturing when they're telling a story, when they're saying something. Those bands, I mean, you can go see any number of D-beat bands and they're like, we're going to smash down the system, we're going to fight back, and like, well, you're just saying that because Discharge said that, like you just think that phrase sounds cool. One of the things that I love about Froggy is how there is no posturing, how the band is funny, and you can tell when they say something they mean it. Brooke, does Froggy have any general battle plan, or are you guys just, you know, taking things as they come and writing funny but clever and interesting and meaningful songs?
Oh, I feel like on our upcoming album, which we're still working on, me and Morgan were talking about it. We have like a good amount of silly songs, but like a lot of like emotional ones and one that's even like a ballad. So the framework, like, that we kind of accidentally worked in is like growing up, rebelling, and then like maturing, accepting, and like final, like, this is me, like, I'm not gonna let these people drag me down. Like, we kind of write a story on accident. Like, we never plan it to be that way, but with a lot of our stuff, we're just like, wow, I didn't expect this. Like, I didn't expect myself to write this so seriously, or I didn't expect like this flow to happen. So a lot of it is just kind of accidental. It's just kind of whatever we write.
Just a couple last questions.
I want to hear a Froggy ballad.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
One of Froggy's earlier successes was that they wrote this hilarious song called 7-Eleven Nachos, which is about how much they like nachos. And then 7-Eleven picked up on it and actually filmed a video for you guys. How did that come about? And what was it like filming a video with professional videographers and having this very cool, very slick, very pro-looking video about your song? And that's pretty wild.
So basically, we got a DM from somebody on their marketing team, like a little less than a month after it came out. And they were like, hey, I'm from this and we'd love to work with you. And then they were like, by the way, this is not a scam. I know it sounds like that. And then we just started emailing back and forth with these people and like months upon months of planning. And basically everything was like up to us because they were like, we want you to have as much creative control as possible, which was really neat. Like, we got to have a say in like what outfits, like the sequences, like what kind of story we wanted to tell. And it was crazy. I felt like a real life celebrity for two and a half days of my life. Like, it was even the day that they just came over to Fiona's where we were all sleeping over and gave us like clothes to try on, I felt like a celebrity because our director was like, are you guys hungry? Like, I'm ordering Applebee's. What do you want? And then we were like, she's like, yeah, my crew's going to go pick it up. And there, she had the assistants that went and picked up the food. And we were like, what? And they transformed Fiona's like entire house to shoot it. And it was just very surreal. Like, those 2 days felt like a fever dream. And like, all of a sudden it was over. And I just remember, like, the one moment it really felt real was when we were driving around in the convertible for the shots for that. Because we would all just look at each other between takes and be like, I can't believe we're doing this right now. Like, we just, I think we still haven't processed how it all happened. Like, I feel very lucky and fortunate to have that have happened. And like, all the, we have like so many cool pictures of us. Like, all, we have that video forever. And something I spoke up about recently is a lot of people, it was never an ad campaign because they were like, this is just a music video for you. We'll use it to promote our new nacho recipe like once, but that's it. And so a lot of people have been commenting on their recent ads, which are like music and art forward. And they'll like tag us, be like, where's Froggy? Like, where's the Froggy stuff? And so I finally made a post the other day where I was like, please leave them alone, guys. We love 7-Eleven. They did a video for us. They did like everything we wanted and more. Like, can cut them a break. Like, we're not part of their ad campaign, you know?
You don't need to be like the progressive lady for 7-Eleven. Right?
Like, yeah.
The lady that's in like all the progressive commercials is like, now it's Froggy for 7-Eleven.
We'll wrap up the interview, yeah, and then we'll come back and hit with the news. But a question to M, and this is something that, yes, I've, and Brooke mentioned this, is sometimes you'll have people with good intentions going to war on your behalf when either you don't want them to go to war, or you want to go to war yourself, but you don't want them kind of messing up the battle arena. You know what I mean? So yeah, what do you do in that, yeah, scenario, Em? You know, Brooke had that exact issue. Em, have you ever had that happen? And what did you do?
I have had it happen, and it usually, like, someone thinks that they're doing the right thing, and it makes everything worse for me. So then it's like, oh, okay, well, I have to redraw my plan, make sure your enemy's facing the sun, you know what I mean? And just, like, amp everything up to 11. So, yeah, like, if it's something that I've talked to somebody about, and they know all the details, and they're getting involved, that's completely different. That's welcome. That's part of the strategy. But yeah, just to have it unprovoked can be kind of
it's awkward.
Awkward.
I realize you're trying to help me out, but you're not helping me out. You know what, mm-hmm, I mean? So anyway, yeah. Brooke, what shows, you heard it here first, folks, Froggy's working on a new album. I'm very excited. They've got an EP out called Sopa de El Latte, and I know I pronounced that totally wrong. They've got a brand new single out called Jimmy's Song, which we'll play in a second. They're working on a new album. Brooke, what are the upcoming Froggy shows?
Saturday, we're opening for the Warhawks, Ugly, and Dead Flowers at First Unitarian Church, which is the biggest venue we've ever played. And we go on first, so everybody get there at 7 at doors so you can see us. And then the week after, on March 19th, we're playing North Wales Social Club with LMI and the Bad Ups, and it's going to be awesome. That is like, it's like 5 minutes from my house, so I'm very excited for that one. And folks, yeah, there's more.
You heard it here first, folks. July 2nd, Philadelphia, opening the brand new band with Nicole Witch Hunt, not her twin Janine, Nicole Witch Hunt, Night Dance. Also, Froggy's playing. It's going to be awesome. Also, Vixen 77 is playing. It's going to be awesome. Also, the Marissa Paternoster Band is playing. It's going to be awesome. Also, the Joe Jack Talcum Band is going to be playing. It's going to be rad. July 2nd, Philomoka. You heard it here first, folks. Froggy's going to kick ass, so come on out. Let's play Jimmy's Song, and we'll come back. This is Jimmy's Song by Froggy. Everyone else should go out and stream it and give money to the band because they're awesome, and see them live. July 2nd, another day too. Let's go. And we're back, and let's hit the news. And let's see here. What do we have on today's schedule? Because I lost track of our things to talk about, and I know we have some very interesting things to talk about, and the interesting things
Christian Bunda releasing I'm an Alien.
Christian of Mean Jeans has got a new album coming out this month. The album is called Funky Punks in Space. We had Christian on the podcast not that long ago. This is the second song and first video from the album, and the video is called I'm an Alien. And well, I got opinions on it, but Hallie Bullitt, did you enjoy it? Did you think it was amusing and a good song?
The video is so great, right? It's like intentionally kind of like, you know, DIY looking green screen, funny green screen stuff, which I think I've said on the podcast before, always entertains me. It's got lots of great, like, right, effects that like are not really effects. He's like clearly like standing in front of just like a box fan, and it's like blowing his like Sir Lancelot haircut around, and like right, he's like, I thought the video was really funny and charming. It like really, really drew me into the song. It's a little, right, it's a little slower than the other stuff from the album that I've heard. Would you say that's right, John?
I would say it's slower, but actually, I'm surprised. Yeah. Like, I would take it as a well. Go ahead. I thought the song was fantastic, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's not that I didn't like it. It wasn't quite as like high energy as the other stuff that I'd heard off the album. And then somehow the video just like, I don't know, the video kind of made up for that for me, because the video was had such like just a clever sense of humor that I really appreciated. And so yeah, I was really into this. Em, what did you think?
I love the video. The video's the best.
So funny, right?
Yeah, and he's just like holding on to the scooter, and then there's like intercut with like people scooting, you know, and doing like tricks and like all this kind of stuff. I liked the song. I thought the song was like I thought it was really fun. And again, like it's like really danceable, and I kind of got like disco-ish vibes from it. Yeah, and his head like turns green, his whole skin turns green, and there's like a Snapchat filter with like an alien. It's a really good time. I'm looking forward to the whole album.
I love the video. I like good 80s music a lot, like Dead or Alive. I mean, it sounds it's basically ripped off the Dead or Alive's first record. It's almost You Spin Me right around like a record, just sped up maybe a little bit, but like it's a cool track. I love that Christian is merging punk with 80s dance music, although this is almost strictly 80s dance music. Like if you played this in the 80s, I think it would just be 80s music, frankly. You know what I mean? I think the track is hilarious. Yeah. I think the album's fantastic. I'm so psyched for this. I've got a couple of questions, and my question is, I wonder why they didn't just make the record a Mean Jeans record. And it could be that they didn't write it like Mean Jeans usually write, so maybe that's why. Or maybe it's so good Christian didn't like want to let it go. Because I feel like if Mean Jeans put out this record, it would blow people's minds as the next significant Mean Jeans strike, because they put out the album Jingles, which I thought was one of the best artistic statements ever. And they put out the next Mean Jeans record, which was called Ultimate Psych. I liked Ultimate Psych a lot, but it was kind of just Mean Jeans doing what Mean Jeans do. So I really think if the Mean Jeans put out the Christian record, it's like, we're still Mean Jeans, we're doing Mean Jeans type stuff, but it's a step in a slightly different direction. I think it would have been huge, but maybe it was just too good, or maybe they just didn't write like they usually write a Mean Jeans record, so it couldn't be a Mean Jeans record. I just think it's absolutely fantastic. What I will say, this goes back to my one bit of gravel that we had with the Christian interview, was that I was like, Christian, you must go on the stage and think you're the man. You must say you kick ass all the time. And he's like, well, I don't know if we're that good or not. And I'm like, you don't know if you're that good. What's funny is in the video, he seems so confident. Like in the video, he's so confident. He's kind of making fun of himself in the video, you see. So
I thought that too, John. I totally thought that. I was like, he was so humble when he was on the podcast, right? He was just like such a really like just a humble guy. And then it just goes to show how different people's like persona when they're doing something publicly or for art, how different they can like almost transform themselves, because he does, he seems like such a cocky kind of, it's so funny that you said that, because that is what I thought while I was watching it. I was like, wow, this is the same guy that we did that interview with. And he was so charming in his interview, right? But that just the energy was different, right? He has a real stage persona that's just right. Like he lets himself be a different guy.
Right. I thought the Christian on stage was the real Christian, but it's not at all. Or maybe it's an aspect. But like in the video, he's so confident. He's acting like a kind of a cocky jerk, but he's making fun of himself for being a cocky jerk in the video. It's like the next level of confidence. You know what I mean? It's like I'm so confident, I'll make fun of myself in my own video. You know, Brooke, did you enjoy Christian does I'm an Alien?
Oh my God, I loved it. It was so charming. I guess it's like the best word to use. It's like, I feel like if I did a solo project, my stuff would look like this. Like, it's very much goofy, and like the way he's like staring down the camera. I love it so much. I love the energy.
Well, speaking of great energy and more, tell us about one of your favorite bands. Well, I don't know if it's one of your favorite bands. A band that you enjoy, Panic Shack, and their new track, The Ick.
Panic Shack, yeah. They're rising in the ranks to like favorite band level for sure. So they are out of Cardiff, Wales. And I think they're a punk band, but I don't think they think they're a punk band. They just released a video for their new song, The Ick. And that's off their upcoming EP, Baby Shack, that's coming out in April. The video is great because it's the band, but they're dressed as like nuns and they're sitting around and they're drinking and there's candles everywhere. I thought they were reading the Bible. They're not reading the Bible. The book is called How to Reverse the Ick. That's what they're reading. So that like is just, it's great. And then they do like, it goes like night vision, and then it's like they're getting up to all sorts of kind of wild stuff. Like, looks like there's doing an exorcism, trying to rid her of the ick and all this kind of stuff. So it's great. And then when the video ends, the band goes to like corner store to buy snacks, and they're still dressed as nuns, and they're just kind of walking away, and they're like, the video is so cool or so fun or whatever. So that's the video. And the song is, it's just great. Like, it's really funny. But there's obviously like a lot more to it. Like, the ick is real. I can attest to that. You know, like when someone does something or says something and you're like, ugh, no. So like one of the lines in the song is like, you know, you shushed me in the cinema. You don't shush me in the cinema. You know, you gave me the ick, mate. That's it. So, you know, it's great. It's high energy. The delivery, like vocal delivery, is perfect because it's just like monotone, more or less. I'm looking forward to this so much. They're just great. Brooke, what did you think of Panic Shack?
So awesome. Definitely sounds like a band that I would put on like my girl punk playlist. Like, I really enjoyed the song, and just like kind of like the way that the video was shot was just very, very nice, like very satisfying. And I don't even know why, I just thought it was, but I love that song. Definitely going to be listening to it more.
It was like, I loved like, so the thing, so right in the song, she's sort of complaining about these sort of everyday kind of humdrum things that a person can do on a date or in a relationship that just, they just totally irk you. They totally turn you off. And it's like, it's over from that point forward. You're like, oh, well, now I can't date you anymore because you've done this, like this thing that just drove me crazy. So I just liked the contrast of that, the thing she's talking about. Like I said, they are like pretty sort of everyday things that can happen. And yet in the video, there's sort of this, like this coven of like nun witches, and they're having this very dramatic seance about it. It was like, there was something about that contrast that really tickled me. Although I guess that is kind of the point of the song, right? She's saying like, that these may be small moments in a date or in a relationship, but that they do feel very dramatic to her. Like they're deal breakers. They're these like deal breaker moments. But I really thought this was funny. And I just think they have a good sense of humor. They sort of always are able to convey that in their music and the videos. And I do feel like in the last video, and John, like, didn't they also do that where they kind of at the end sort of just showed you like just sort of the kind of a behind the scenes, like just them like after shooting the video sort of moment. So I like that they kind of like always let you in that way to just them as a band, them as people. Yeah, this was very cool. Can I tell you like the most random ick moment that I had?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was dating this guy. He was like a really nice guy. And we were getting along. And then he was in my bed. This is not going to get sexual. And my apartment that I lived in at that time could get quite cold. And I kept a little pair of socks tucked at the, like sort of between the mattress and the bed frame at the end of my bed. So that if it was ever like in the middle of the night and my feet got cold, I could just like grab the socks and quickly put them on. And so he like sees these pair of socks in my bed and he was like, why are there socks there? And I was like, in case my feet get cold, dude. And he was like, well, so what? Like, if it gets cold, you just grab them with your little monkey feet and put them on. And as soon as he said monkey feet, I was like, we're done here. I'm never seeing you again.
Oh, like, my gosh.
You can't call my feet monkey feet. And he like thought it was so funny. Like he was being real cute. And I was like, oh, no, oh, no, no, no. You need to leave now. We're not talking about my monkey feet. But I don't know. I felt like this video captured that because the things that she's talking about are not things that bother me at all. Like, I don't care if someone puts milk in my tea. Well, I guess that is good. That would make the tea taste kind of horrible. But I liked what you liked. I have written here in capitals, you shushed me in the cinema. Like, I love how she says that. Everybody has their thing, right? Like their thing where they're like, oh, no, no, no. Like now we can't. We can't here. We're done. John, were you into this?
Hallie, you've given me a slightly different perspective of my analysis of the song. I will say I like this song a lot, and I like this band a lot. I like this song a lot. And here I am using the phrase, this is an M. Moore band, and M. Moore bands are getting better and better in my perspective. Like, bands that are highlighted as M. Moore bands, I like more and more. I like this band a lot. And as you all said, I do love the phrase, you shush me in the cinema. You do not shush me. It's for some reason, it's like just it's really, so really funny. I will say, there's just something, maybe it's because Americans' dialect and American vocabulary is not as good as English. Like, there's something about, like, English, like, even English punk bands sound, like, really sophisticated. Like, an American punk band, like, we're going to fight the system because it's right to fight the system, you know. And the English bands, like, they speak so proper, like, it sounds like a proper English lady, and it's a punk band, like, talking about, you know, getting in an argument in the movie theater, which is, there's just something about, that's so delightful to hear English people speak. What I thought was interesting, and Hallie Bullen has given me a slightly different shade on this, is that in the first scenario, she gets mad because the person puts milk in before the coffee or the tea. I forget whichever it is. Tea. And so I'm thinking, well, that's a dumb reason to dumb somebody over. So she's in the wrong. But then when they're in the movie theater, if she gets shushed, well, that could be disrespectful. But then again, it's disrespectful to talk in the movie theater because you might get slapped, as I know all too well. So the point being is, I thought, well, then she's in the wrong there. But maybe the correct analysis, or maybe there's no correct analysis, it's not what's right or wrong. It's what are your own personal hair triggers that just annoy you. And it's just a perspective of being human. At any rate, this band is funny. They rock. Actually, what I love about M. Moore bands, and this is like M. Moore bands are some of my favorite modern punk bands, is that like they have a unique perspective that is undeniably punk, that is undeniably real, that rocks and is funny. So it's funny, but it's truthful and serious, if that makes sense. And that's what I like about a lot of M. Moore bands. And so I will use the phrase M. Moore band less going forward, but here it was proper. Anyway, so I dig this band a lot. I'm definitely going to buy the album. I'm super psyched. Or the EP, maybe it's an EP. At any rate, here's another band I'm psyched about. Catbite. They released a cover of The Silencers' Policeman. Of course, Policeman is the only official track released by the Silencers, although there is about 7 or 8 unreleased tracks, which are on a bootleg Rancid 12-inch that is the Life Won't Wait demos that has on the A side the Life Won't Wait demos and the B side the Silencer demos, which they really should just release because it's absolutely fantastic if you've heard it. They also cover NWA. Catfight recorded this as a way as part of the Still Stubborn Volume 2 compilation. In the video, it's got singer Britt Luna getting pursued by the police, and the police, of course, is a dog driving a police wagon. And what's interesting is not only is the song a cover, the video is a cover of an earlier Catfight video, which I thought was super clever and super cool. I love the original track by the Silencers, and of course, the Silencers is Tim Armstrong, Vic Ruggiero. I know it's the Wicks, and actually, deep cut, Hallie Bullock, do you know who the Wicks is?
No.
And more, do you know who the Wicks is?
I do. She was featured in Architects of Self-Destruction.
Well, that's true. The Wicks is actually the employee number one of Hellcat Records. She's kind of the person that actually put the Give 'Em the Boot compilation together, and she's on the track, which is cool. And anyways, I thought this take was very fun and very cool. I dug it. Hallie Bullock, do you enjoy the Silencers, or did you hate it with a burning passion?
No, this was great. And I don't, you know, I know you love Catbite, and I always like them in theory. Like, I always like the band. I like their vibe. I just don't always like the music. And I loved this. So I was like, oh, wow. So it really, just for me, just for like my own personal thing, it's just like it's really a songwriting issue, because clearly, like, now I'm hearing them play other material. I really enjoy it. I can hear that they're great. I enjoy what they do as a band, like, quite a bit, you know? So clearly, again, it's, you know, talking about like little things that are just your personal preference. It just went to, for me, it just proved like, oh, there is just with regular Catbite stuff, there is just something in the songwriting that I'm not connecting to. But it kind of proved to me that like, there's a reason that I still like this band as much as I still like the idea of them. I still think they're cool. Even if I don't always like their stuff. And this song like kind of proved why that is to me. It's like, oh yeah, like, cause they're super, super talented. Right. And I thought the video was funny and watchable. And wait, what did you mean by it was a cover of another video? What does that mean?
Because Catbite did an album called Cat Light, which was them doing their first album in the country western style. And they did a video for, I forget which track, where they're driving the car and another car is pursuing them. So this video is a remake of an earlier Catbite video, which I thought was pretty clever, frankly.
That's really funny. Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely just like clever, cool people, right?
I'll throw this to M. Moore. M. Moore, it's low hanging fruit, but putting pets in videos, I love it. Every time, I love it. I love the dog as a cop here. And if you look like the dog's I'll look it up. Like the dog's badge is something, it's like something really funny. I'll look it up while we're talking. But then there's a cat playing a piano. Did you enjoy the dog's hat says Paul Lease instead of Police. So I realize that's an easy gag, but I just think it's hilarious and I love it. Did you enjoy the pets in the video?
Yes, I think pets make every video like that much better, because they're just like, they're cute and they're fun and they're just hanging out. And like at the beginning, there's the cat just kind of hanging out with the Burger King cup, you know, and stuff, and it's just like the cutest thing. And then like, yeah, the dog just like being held up in front of the green screen, and it's so cute. And like the keyboard cat interlude is like the best. Pets in videos are always good. Like, again, I don't think that there's any, I'm just trying to think like if there's any videos that had pets that I didn't watch or I didn't really like. But yeah, like it definitely helped. I love the video. The video is great. I didn't know it was a cover of like the previous video, so that was really cool. I liked the cover. I thought the cover was really good too. And they did a really good job, because at the beginning it's like, I don't know this song. And then I was like, oh shoot, I do know the song. And then I went back and listened to the original and I was like, oh yeah. So I think they did a really good job. More pets.
Brooke, of course, famously Sublime would have Lou Dog running around their videos for the EV for the easy awes. What's your stance of Sublime having Lou Dog kind of getting people to come in, and what's your stance of the Cat Bite video?
I think pets are a great way to draw people in, and obviously I'm a huge fan of the way Cat Bite did it, because I love Tim and Britt's dog Nacho, a dog that I hope to pet one day, and so I thought the whole video was just like so cute and so well done. I've like really enjoyed watching it. I love everything that Cat Bite does, so it was a joy to see.
Yeah, Hallie, you hear that? Everything that Cat Bite does. Here's a musician that I love everything that he does. Well, actually, I love everything that he does. But KRS-One, of course, we talked about him last week or the week before. He's got a new album called I'm AMCRU12, and he released the first video from that. It's called Can You Dance? And I'll kick it off. I think this is one of the better songs from the album. What I really like about this video and this song is that it's KRS-One like shouting out like all these dances, which like back in the 50s and 60s, like there was all these songs. Can you do the Hucklebuck? Can you do the Cabbage Patch? But like that, people stopped doing that after like 1963 or 1964 because it was kind of cheesy. Well, actually, no, the Human Beings have the song Nobody Can Do the Dance Like I Can, which that's like 67. At any rate, in the 60s, people stopped doing like dance, like can you do the blank dance? And KRS-One kind of brings it back, I guess, to the 80s and late 70s when breakdancing was first kind of starting to exist and it had all these different dances. And he kind of gives a shout out to the history of the culture of breakdancing. I thought that was kind of cool that he does that. And from a certain perspective, like that could come off as very cheesy and very corny, but here it really doesn't to me because KRS-One does, you know, kind of represent the culture of hip hop. And he's been basically saying this kind of message for the past 35 or 40 years. So I think this comes off as very authentic. I also like how the video is green screened and it doesn't quite match up. So you can easily tell like everyone there is green screened. But I don't think that hurts. I think it makes it kind of look kind of more awesome. And I also like how not everyone in the video is like, and a lot of times in like my, like if they have breakdancing, it'll be like the greatest breakdancer ever and doing the crazy. I like how the breakdancers here aren't all phenomenal breakdancers. Some of them are just like regular breakdancers, I guess. And they're also kind of doing breakdancing more in this the 80s style as opposed to the crazy 90s and 2000s styles, where things got a little bit crazier. I also like how KRS-One, he stated how he's not good at dancing, and he's not good at dancing in the video, even though the video is about how fun it is to dance, which I think is genuinely cool. Also, I'll throw this to Hallie Bullet. Hallie Bullet, I always pin you with these really hard trivia questions because I know you can take it. Do you know who the fellow with glasses is that kind of just shows up now and then and like crosses his arm and like nods at you? Do you know who that is?
No, I was too busy paying attention to dancing. I was not even like paying attention to stuff. I was really, really into the dancing in this video. Wait, no, tell me, who was it?
It's Dougie Fresh, one of the most famous beatboxers ever, seminal to early New York hip hop.
Nice, very nice. Yeah, I mean, I thought this was amazing. It's, again, John, it's like kind of funny that you, when I heard this song in the context of the album, I will say I had like a thought of like, is this corny? You know what I mean? Like, is this just kind of corny and like to just kind of shout out a bunch of dances that people like feel nostalgia about? Right. Like, is this like, I don't know. There was something about that I liked this album a lot when I listened to it. Like I really liked especially his lyrics and his vocals. So this was the only part lyrically where I was like, I'm not totally sure I'm on board with this. And then you guys actually watched me watch the video, right? Like this video is amazing. And I did like a 180. I was like, oh no, I love this. Like, I absolutely love this. Like, it was somehow when I saw people dancing and it, I don't know, it got me really excited about the song as just, yeah, like a love letter to dancing, and particularly like this era of dancing. So yeah, I don't even know how to feel about this because it wasn't sold on the song. And then now that I've seen the song with the video, I'm like so sold on it. So I don't know, that it just goes to show my opinions are not, they're not written in stone, people. I change my mind about things all the time, which I think is a great way to be. I think I'm an awesome person. I don't know. I should stop trying to let someone else talk. Brooke, what did you think of the, what did you think of this video and song?
It was a lot of fun. I thought the song, I really liked like the beat, and I was kind of dancing a little bit when I was watching it because I really enjoyed it. But definitely, like all the people dancing, I couldn't figure out like who to focus on at once. I was just like, I would rewind and be like, now I'm gonna watch that guy, and I would just keep like looking at it. It was a lot of fun visually and listeningly, if there's a word for that.
And more, what's your stance on the break dance?
I thought it was really cool. Like, in the song, I didn't know. I think how many I wrote them down because it was like, yeah, there's only like three that are mentioned that I had any idea of what they were. Like, you know, so it was really cool to like have the dance be shouted out and then see people do it. And yeah, it just looks like everyone's having a blast and just like, you know, it's perfect for like watching over and over. So like, I think I watched it at least twice just to like see what was going on and focus on everyone and try to see like all that kind of stuff. So that was really, really cool. KRS-One dancing made my day. I will say that. Just like, this looks, yeah, you know, but he's having fun and it's great. So all in favor.
Well, there you have it. Let's wrap it up with one final story. Ministry had released a video for Sabotage Is Sex. And of course, Jello Biafra is on it. And of course, as listeners undoubtedly know, that Jello and Al Jurgensen of Ministry have a band called Lard. And so arguably this track is a Lard track and not a Ministry track or you know, whatever. At any rate, in the video, Jello's got on his little fez cap that he's been known to wear here and there. And well, I'll kick it off. Is first of all, most people wearing a fez and kind of alien glasses look like jerks or just annoying people. Jello can get away with it, man. Jello being Jello, I'll watch Jello in a fez any day of the week, especially when it says moolah on the top. And it just, I mean, I don't want to say it's charisma. It kind of goes back to how Hallie said KRS-One can get away with a song about dances, and that because Jello is who he is, he can kind of get away with, you know, kind of being silly, but also singing about like a serious topic. I thought this song was good. Actually, I thought it's one of the better tracks on the new Ministry album. I'm not a huge I love the first Ministry album. I'm not a huge Ministry fan because all the songs are like 6 minutes long, and I'm always like, this song only needs to be 2.5 minutes. It's like, it just keeps going on and it's not changing. What's cool about this track is it actually kind of does have two or three portions to it. So I dig it. I think it's pretty strong. I will say it is kind of Jello really does spice it up, and Jello and Al, like, honestly, I want to like industrial and I don't like industrial. I just don't. I want to like industrial. I just don't. But I do like Jello and Al kicking it out together. And more, you're into the heavier stuff, the wilder stuff. What's your stance? Is Ministry too tame for you?
This was the first Ministry song I've ever listened to.
Really?
And I only, yep.
Oh, wow.
And I only listened to it because of Jello. And it was like, yep, this is Lard. I love it. I like the song. I thought the song was really good. But yeah, no, I haven't really checked out Ministry at all. I don't know why. It's just, it hasn't been in the, like the circle of kind of stuff. I have listened to some interesting industrial stuff. Some of it's good, some of it's really let's just say interesting. But yeah, like I do want to check out more of Ministry just to see what it's all about. But yeah, like the song's great and the video's awesome. Like it has like a black and white filter that makes everything look kind of like drawings and kind of like unreal, but also like hyper real at the same time. I don't know. Like it's a really eerie feeling, but it works out really well. So like it's, I read on it that it was some of it's self-shot footage and then some of it's found footage, and it just like it merges so well, works really well together. So I really like this song.
See, it's interesting that you said some industrial is interesting, because to me that's the downfall of it, is that it's not interesting. It's like sick. Like, I want to like Alien Sex Fiend because the name is so cool, because the imagery is so cool. And honestly, like I actually kind of like Alien Sex Fiend 12-inch singles because it's one song and it's 8 minutes. But when you get 2 8-minute Alien Sex Fiend songs in a row, it's like, oh my god, this song will not end. So me, it's that it's not interesting. It's like the same drum beat, the same sample, the same. It's like, I get it. You're spooky. You know. So I don't know, Brooke. Industrial. Where do you stand? Do you like Ministry? Do you like Jello? What's your stance?
So something that a lot of people don't know about me is I actually love industrial. I was a big Ministry fan for a while, and I like the new song. But honestly, I saw them on the tour with Slayer, I believe it was, and it was the most disappointing performance I've ever seen in my life. Like, I was let down so hard. But I love industrial, and what really did it for me was when I, years ago, maybe it was 2020, I think, when I started listening to Rodney Anonymous's radio show on Why Not Radio. Rodney Anonymous tells you how to live, because he plays mostly industrial on there, and that got me into this group called Angel Spit. And like Angel Spit and like Seventh Victim, I would kind of consider like industrial. So,
Seventh Victim playing the Spring Slam Down 2 this Sunday with the Mikey Erg Band.
I love Seventh Victim. Nice. I have a Seventh Victim t-shirt. I'm not wearing it right now, but Rodney played this band called Angel Spit, and I remember hearing it and I was like, this is like the craziest thing I've ever heard. And I immediately started listening to more. And then I would like watch their live streams when they did those, and like wait up for the releases. And like me and Roddy would talk about them. Like, it was like Ministry was definitely like the gateway. But then Rodney's radio show, if you ever want to get into industrial, he does some really good picks of like bands that you would have never heard of in your life otherwise. And some of it you'll be like, this is really good. And some of it is like 10 minutes long, but a lot of it is just like, he finds a lot of that really good underground stuff. So, yeah.
I was a huge Ministry fan. Huge, huge, huge. No, wait, but John, which album were you saying is the one that you like?
Oh, I love, it's got two titles. The UK, was it In Memoriam? The very first one with the rose on the cover. It's got two titles. Epitaph, right? Or In Memoriam?
With Sympathy. With Sympathy? Yeah. Okay. All right. I was like, mine is a terrible thing to taste, and Land of Rape and Honey. That was like my like prime era of Ministry. I still stand by those albums. I think they're totally incredible. And wait, Brooke, so what was disappointing when you saw them live? Like, what were you hoping to see that they just didn't deliver on?
I feel like their performance was just off that night, and they did a cover of Supernaut by Black Sabbath and made it like two times as long. And I was already tired because I'd been to school all day and I did not need that. But like, it was just like the guitarist, like tone was off and like the mics were being weird. And I was just like, man, I was really looking forward to Jesus Built My Hot Rod, and it's just like weird. Like, I would love to see him again and give him another chance. Like, I think they were just in Philly like last night or something, and I didn't get to go, but I was just like, man, was it good?
Yeah, well, the Melvins did an amazing set. I mean, the Melvins really, they always kill, but they really killed this time. Ministry, I still have my, I'm not trying to dog on Ministry. I like Ministry in theory, and I like the persona of Uncle Al. I like that they had a big fence in front of the stage, which was cool, and they had all these like police lights like flashing. So, and they had a big video screen behind them, so it's cool how they do a whole presentation. It's just that there's 6 or 7 guys in the band, and I wonder like what 3 of them are doing at any time, because it's like, do they need 6 people to make this noise, you know? And then it's like, it was cool, but again, like all the songs are 6 minutes and a little too repetitive for me. Hallie Bullock, where am I going wrong? Because a million people love Ministry, you like Ministry. What am I missing? I do love Jesus Built My Hot Rod, though. I love that song.
I don't know. what it is. Like, how can I explain why you love something and I listen to it and I don't hear the same thing? You know, like that's art, right? That's music. It's for some, you know, some people are super into that. I know what you're saying, though. Like, there can be, it's why I can't totally get into, like, electronica. It's just that super repetitive thing where I'm like, oh, I would have to be on drugs to be enjoying the same fucking beat for this long, and I'm not on drugs, so I'm not enjoying this. Like, but I don't know, with ministry, I don't know, that shit really, really, really spoke to me back then. And then, you know, I finally got to see them at Riot Fest, and it was interesting to see a band that I loved so much, like their records, and then not finally actually, like, make the effort of seeing them live until decades later. And I don't know, maybe I probably kept my expectations somewhat low because I didn't want to be disappointed. And I also don't expect bands that have been around that long, like, I don't expect them to be able to hit the stage with the kind of power that they probably did when they were playing, you know, 20 years prior. But I really thought their performance at Riot Fest was fucking excellent. Like, I really thought it was excellent. I was so pleased, you know, because what you don't want is to not have seen a band back when they were, like, really, like, you know, what's the baseball analogy, hitting it into the bleachers. Like, you know, to have missed seeing them then and then to see them years later, and then they're not good, and you're like, I would have been better off just not seeing them. But with ministry, I was just, like, so pleased that I saw them, and they had a lot of really interesting graphics and visuals, videos in the back, and so I wasn't surprised that this video was, like, interesting visually, because they just sort of seemed to have a handle on that as a band. Yeah, I don't know. Ministry's awesome. This wasn't my favorite Ministry song, I'll say that. But I like that I think they're still good at what they do. I just kind of admire that they're still doing it, and, like, pretty well, right?
Well, there you have it. Hallie Bullet, not only defending Ministry, but paying homage to Ministry in her own vocal delivery, which I don't even know if Hallie realizes she's doing, but the listeners certainly will. At any rate, listen, Ministry's a cool band. I will come. Your voice is, like, distorted, so you sound like a droid from Star Wars, and it's perfect how that kicked in. That kicked in just as you started talking about Ministry, so it sounds like you're doing
That whole time I was talking, I'm distorted.
The whole time you're talking about Ministry, you were distorted like a Ministry track, yes.
Wow, I'm really so profesh tonight, you guys. I'm just, like, 100% profesh.
I dig it. It's rad. It's avant-garde. It's killer. Listen, people, thanks for listening tonight. Brooke, thanks for coming on the show. People can check out Froggy at, is it froggyphl.bandcamp.com? Is that the site?
I think it's just Froggy the Band. Or just Froggy the links in our bio everywhere.
Froggytheband.bandcamp. Check out Jimmy's song. Brooke, thanks for coming on. It's a pleasure, and I'm excited to see you live. Yeah. And, we'll see you all next week. You can always reach the podcast at punknews.org. See you next time.